good afternoon to everybody, and thank you for having the opportunity to present my work. And I also apologize for my English, because I come from a southern region in Italy that is really closer to the African continent, so I feel so I feel more I feel more African than European. And so today I will present my paper on the security dimension of regionalism in the Horn of Africa. And during this presentation, I will provide my starting point of the theoretical framework. I will present the object of my analysis, that is the IDCAT historical trajectory. I will try to answer the main question about the external influence on IGAD regionalism. I formulate one main hypothesis on the role of the global war on terror, and I will illustrate you my preliminary findings. About the focus of my theoretical consideration is the penetration of the regional system by the global actors. I think I am not the most qualified people inside this, around this table to talk about regionalism from the theoretic perspective, but I want just to explain why I choose to read some part of this literature. And I focalize on the literature on security and the distribution of power. And I analyzed several scholars have explored this relationship and between peace and regionalism, between formation of regional organization, conflict management, peace building, and regionalization. But the current debate has remained highly fragmented, and it's very difficult to find a common paradigm in order to interpret different patterns of regionalism. For this reason, searching for a good interpretive paradigm, I just discovered an old debate on the old regionalism that is concerning the debate on the subordinate form of state system. And I focalize on an apparent paradox between the contemporary global order, because despite the change inside the polarity of the international system occurred after the bipolar, the end of bipolarism, there is an important element of continuity that defines the current global order, and it's the constant penetration of the weak regional system and the constant penetration of weak states by the dominant global actors. And for this reason, I just evaluate... this theoretical framework on the subordinate system, where different scholars, Zartman, Binder, Brecker, Bowman, evaluate different regional systems, and they found this constant penetration by the global system as the critical juncture, as the common trait of any regional system. And it's very interesting what Zartman said about Africa. Zartman defined the African continent as a subordinate system able to perform two topologies of function, self-maintenance and problem-solving. When Africa is subject to external aid and penetration, the problem-solving prevails on self-maintenance, and it provokes instability. And so this analysis is very interesting for the ability to found on the Asian subordinate system, the African subordinate system, the common trait of domination. And why this this theoretical framework is so relevant? Because obviously the relationship between global and regional in Africa is intimately related. First of all, an historical legacy for an historical penetration, but that is not only a matter of historical question. If we analyze the structure of conflict in Africa, we see that the majority of conflict in Africa is internal, and this is a great legacy in its colonial history. And Also, the penetration is still relevant because the African space in the contemporary world politics is defined by a structure of the economy that is more global than regional. And this is demonstrated by the fact that African countries export more towards the European and American and Asian markets than their own regional market. So, for sure, penetration is not something that we can relegate to the bipolar international system. Once I have portrayed my theoretical starting point, we can focus on the object of my analysis, that is the security dimension of regionalism in the Horn of Africa. The Intergovernmental Authority on Drug and Development is the main regional organization in the Horn of Africa that was created in 1986 with a mandate on drug and desertification. But since the beginning, the member states are obviously Somalia, Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Djibouti, Kenya, and Uganda. Since the beginning, member states realized that development could not be addressed at only combating environmental degradation. And in 1996, this organization lost its environmental priority in order to mandate issues on conflict prevention, conflict resolution. And because during the 90s, the Horn of Africa has been a protagonist of a rising emergency on conflict. If you just think of what happened in Somalia, in the civil war in Sudan, the war in Ethiopia, and the secession of Eritrea from Ethiopia. The credibility of IGAD as an instrument of conflict prevention, conflict management, has been seriously under threat when in 1998, when the border dispute between Ethiopia and Eritrea escalated into a major war. And paradoxically, while IGAD tried to improve their commitment to security, they failed to prevent this war and they failed to dissuade member states to pursue the threat of the military action. And it's not accidental that in 2003, member states decided to create the conflict early warning mechanism in order to prevent conflict and detect its escalation. In 2003, IGAD developed a peace and security strategy that is the major document in which you can find the direction of IGAD strategy. And this plan was launched in 2007, and it established the coordination of two major mechanisms, the conflict early warning mechanism and a new organism, the capacity building program against terrorism. This last mechanism was the first regional ad hoc mechanism created to promote cooperation in fighting terrorism. And this program focused on measure of institutional building and aimed to develop counter strategies efforts. This mechanism is very important, is the most important outcome of IGAD's gradual commitment to the global security. And this commitment can be briefly demonstrated by this chronology, because since 1999, IGAD tried to be committed to the global counter-terrorism initiative, adhering both to the convention promoted by the Organization for African Unity. And it's only in 2002 that for the first time IGAD decided to pass a resolution on regional cooperation to combat terrorism. And so we can see that before to create ad hoc regional mechanism, IGAD was able to collaborate with regional and international organisms. And in 2003, there was this conference on the prevention and combating of terrorism that was the major moment of discussion in which was established the capacity building program above mentioned. And To fully comprehend the EGAD's commitment to the global war on terror and to the global agenda on security, we need to evaluate EGAD's commitment to the Somalia peace building. Of course, also the Sudan case is interesting, is unnecessary into the evaluation, but for now I'm just presenting one case study. And after the collapse of the central government in Somalia in 1991, the history of the Somali peace building has been a history of a proliferation of international efforts at reconciliation. And for the first 10 years, IGAD was minimally involved in this process because IGAD mandated to its member states to the right to mediate. And in this first decade, there emerged a constitutional antagonism between different approaches to state building. On one hand, there is the Ethiopian and Western solution to promote a federal state. On the other hand, there is the Arab initiative to promote the revitalization of a national government. And the Somali peace building has become, in this manner, a container of competing external influence on this constitutional solution. And IGAD, from the beginning, take a side inside this antagonism, because IGAD sponsored the building block approach aimed to promote a federal constitution and a federal form of government in Somalia. If you look to the IGAD's direct involvement in the Somali peace building, this first concrete involvement occurred in 2002 with the Eldoret Conference, where it was stipulated a negotiation between the former transitional national government that was the first attempt to revitalize a state. And but after this negotiation was promoted the possibility to construct a federal structure, and it's in 2003 that IGAD promoted the Somali National Reconciliation Conference, where a transitional federal transition charter has been established. And after the collapse of the first national government, IGAD built the contemporary government in Somalia, that is the transitional federal government, through the Mogadishu Peace Conference. But also this attempt to state building has been very critical, and the IGAD's failure and scarce successful in promoting peace gradually influenced the decision to militarize state building. In fact, since 2005, IGAD promoted and announced the deployment of IGAD military operation IGASOM, that was never deployed for internal disagreement, but the idea was to deploy this military solution to sustain the transitional government. But the military solution, in any case, occurred, and when it arrived, it seemed that the second IGAD's critical moment inside its credibility as peace facilitator, because in December of 2006, Ethiopian troops occupied Somalia while they are fighting against the Islamic courts near to Baidoa, that was this city where the transitional federal government was in exile. And IGAD called for the withdrawal of Ethiopian troops, but in reality was a very soft call, because they just proposed to transform this military occupation inside the next African Union mission that will be realized in Somalia. And why this moment is a critical moment for IGAD's credibility? Because Eritrea suspended its membership by the organization because it was against the refuse of the organization to recognize the occupation of the Ethiopian troops. And on the same time, IGAD called to the United Nations to provide sanction against Eritrea that was charged to funding the Somali opposition. And at the end of this history, there were no sanctions for Ethiopia that occupied another countries, and there were sanctions for Eritrea that was suspected to finance opposition. And in 2007, the IGAD sustained the authorization of the United Nations to the deployment of the African Union mission in Somalia. The last critical moment of IGAD's credibility as an instrument of a peace facilitator occurred in 2008, when at the end of this war created by Islamic courts and transitional federal government, the United Nations promoted a peace process, and it was held in Djibouti. And for the first time since the withdrawal of UN mission in Somalia, for the first time the United Nations returned in Somalia. And why? This is obviously a strange a changeover, because since the American withdrawal from Somalia and the relative failure of the international community to manage conflicts in Somalia during the 19, the entire management of conflict was granted to regional organization, and IGAD have an important role in this operation. And in order to comprehend in which manner global agenda have an impact on IGAD strategy, we need to consider that the United States foreign policy in Africa, after the withdrawal from Somalia, this foreign policy can be defined as the building state fight terrorism statement. And in the Horn of Africa, the United States supported the mutual intervention inaugurated by Ethiopia and Somalia, supporting government and the non-government opposition that were linked to the United States' interest in Somalia. The United States supported also a direct counter-terrorism strategy. In fact, in 2002, there was this construction of the Combined Joint Task Force. There was the first mechanism aimed to deliver counter-strategy activities, and the entire United American presence in the Horn of Africa was formalized in 2008 with the formation of the African Command in Djibouti and in Camp Lamonière, where there is this command. And despite these two important parts of American commitment to the Horn of Africa, there was also a direct military operation by the United States in Somalia, because after that covert operation failed and mutual interference failed to contain Islamist threats, the United States launched several direct military operations in Somalia. So this is just a framework of the US presence in the Horn of Africa. But to understand how much did this US global war on terror modify the IGAD strategies, we have to consider the two indicators. The first is that the exogenous nature of the reordering of priorities inside the IGAD strategies, and we have to consider three elements in order to understand this first indicator. While the second indicator is the shift of the IGAD's role inside the Somali peace process. About the first indicator, the war on terror produces a reordering of priorities not correspondent to the priorities of the regional security agenda. In a context of regional disease, where poverty, instability, and the underdevelopment are preexistent to the growth of an undefined international jihad, terrorism did never represent a real, well-established, and concrete threat. And this is demonstrated by the role that sub-Saharan Africa occupied in these graphs. I just need 2 minutes, 1 minute, and I finish. The second indicator is the connection between terrorism and the failed state. The IGAD was committed to the global security agendas for the dangerous connection between terrorism and the failed state, but several analyses demonstrate that the coefficient establishing the impact of a failed state in breeding terrorism is not significant. I just take this analysis, but we can consider very, there is a great possibility to consider different analyses on this kind of matter. And at least we have the last element. Before 2007, the number of terrorist attacks in Somalia was insignificant. It did not exist any statistical relationship between the terrorist activities and the growth of jihadism. The growth of the terrorist attack occurred after the escalation of the counter-terrorism strategy led by Ethiopia and the United States in 2006, as is simply to see by these graphs. And the second indicator accounts on the shift of IGAD's role inside the Somali peace process. This is demonstrated by the IGAD's defection from mediation, because instead to mediate between parties in conflict, IGAD decided to defend the transitional federal government that is not able to have any domestic legitimacy in Mogadishu. And the second element is the same IGAD's interpretation of the conflict in Somalia as being permeated by the global war on terror, because IGAD defined this conflict as a conflict between Somalis, not between Somalis, but between the people of Somalia and the international terrorist groups. And there isn't any historians that will quote this kind of analysis. And the third element is that the IGAD lost of monopoly in conflict management, represented by the Djibouti peace process, that represents the failure of IGAD to be committed to the conflict management. I finished, and I am sorry to be late. And my conclusion is that the use of IGAD as instrument of domination weakened its function as a regional institution, and that this analysis tried to demonstrate that regional security has been penetrated by the priorities of the global security paradigm. Thank you.